The Adolescent by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Part 2. Chapter 1. 1. I pass over an interval of almost 2 months. The reader need not be uneasy. Everything will be clear from the latter part of my story. I start again from the 15th of November, a day I remember only too well for many reasons. To begin with, no one who had known me 2 months before would have recognized me, externally anyway. That is to say, anyone would have known me, but would not have been able to make me out. To begin with, I was dressed like a dandy. The conscientious and tasteful Frenchman, whom Versilov had once tried to recommend me, had not only made me a whole suit, but had already been rejected as not good enough. I already had suits made by other superior tailors of a better class, and I even ran up bills with them. I had an account, too, at a celebrated restaurant, but I was still a little nervous there and paid on the spot whenever I had money, though I knew it was mauvaise ton, and that I was compromising myself by doing so. A French barber on the Nevsky Prospect was on familiar terms with me and told me anecdotes as he dressed my hair. And I must confess, I practiced my French on him. Though I know French, and fairly well indeed, yet I'm afraid of beginning to speak it in grand society, and I dare say my accent is far from Parisian. I have a smart coachman, Motvi, with a smart turnout, and he is always at my service when I send for him. He has a pale sorrel horse, a fast trotter. I don't like grays. Everything is not perfect, however. It's the 15th of November and has been wintry weather for the last 3 days, and my fur coat is an old one, lined with raccoon, that once was Versilov's. It wouldn't fetch more than 25 rubles. I must get a new one, and my pocket is empty, and I must, besides, have money in reserve for this evening whatever happens, without that I shall be ruined and miserable. That was how I put it to myself at the time. Oh, degradation! Where had these thousands come from, these fast trotters, these expensive restaurants? How could I all at once change like this and forget everything? Shame! Reader, I am beginning now the story of my shame and disgrace, and nothing in life can be more shameful to me than these recollections. I speak as a judge, and I know that I was guilty. Even in the whirl in which I was caught up, and though I was alone without a guide or counselor, I was, I swear, conscious of my downfall, and so there's no excuse for me. And yet, for those 2 months I was almost happy, why almost? I was quite happy. And so happy, would it be believed, that the consciousness of my degradation, of which I had glimpses at moments, frequent moments, and which made me shudder in my inmost soul, only intoxicated me the more. What do I care if I'm fallen? And I won't fall, I'll get out of it. I have a lucky star. I was crossing a precipice on a thin plank without a rail, and I was pleased at my position, and even peeped into the abyss. It was risky and it was delightful. And my idea? My idea later, the idea would wait. Everything that happened was simply a temporary deviation. Why not enjoy oneself? That's what was amiss with my idea, I repeat, it admitted of all sorts of deviations. If it had not been so firm and fundamental, I might have been afraid of deviating. And meanwhile I kept on the same humble lodging. I kept it on, but I didn't live in it. There I kept my trunk, my bag, and my various properties. But I really lived with Prince Sergei. I spent my days there, and I slept there at night. And this went on for weeks. How this came to pass I'll tell in a minute, but meanwhile I will describe my little lodging. It was already dear to me. Versilov had come to see me there of himself, first of all after our quarrel, and often subsequently. I repeat, this was a period of shame but of great happiness. Yes, and everything at that time was so successful and so smiling. And what was all that depression in the past about? I wondered in some ecstatic moments, why those old painful self-lacerations, my solitary and gloomy childhood, my foolish dreams under my quilt, my vows, my calculations, even my idea? I imagined and invented all that, and it turns out that the world's not like that at all. See how happy and gay I am. I have a father, Versilov. I have a friend, Prince Sergei. I have besides. But that besides will leave. Alas, it was all done in the name of love, magnanimity, honor, and afterwards it turned out hideous, shameless, and ignominious. Enough. 2. He came to see me for the first time 3 days after our rupture. I was not at home, and he waited for me. Though I had been expecting him every day, when I went into my tiny cupboard of a room, there was a mist before my eyes, and my heart beat so violently that I stopped short in the doorway. Fortunately, my landlord was with him, having thought it necessary to introduce himself at once, that the visitor might not be bored with waiting. He was eagerly describing something to Versilov. He was a titular counselor, a man about 40, much disfigured by smallpox, very poor, and burdened with a consumptive wife and an invalid child. He was of a very communicative and unassuming character, but not without tact. I was relieved at his presence, which was a positive deliverance for me, for what could I have said to Versilov? I had known in earnest that Versilov would come of his own prompting, exactly as I wanted him to, for nothing in the world would